Chicago has a huge shiny bean, but you won't find one of those on the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that almost never pops its peas. He and Popeye share a love of spinach, but not olive oil. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hey, it's Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I bet you didn't know that when you tuned it in, did you? Well, surprise, surprise. The joke's on you and the joke's on us. How about that joke my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, just told? That was actually a series of jokes. He's a funny, funny guy. Anyway, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We're here to help you feel confident about your impending transition from Obamacare to Medicare and all the things that come along with that, such as a fairly reasonable cost for the insurance protection you're going to have and the level of protection is being fairly substantial. No more big, giant, multi-$1,000 deductible to deal with and no more irritating insurance types that try to straighten out your claim and screw it all up. It should be a better way of life for you. At least that's our hope. Not everything works as planned, but that's what we're hoping for. So what do we have to talk about today? We have the book that inspired this podcast, that inspired my efforts to help you through the Medicare transition. It is called Medicare for the Lazy Man. That's pretty scary, isn't it? Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022 is out on Amazon.com in four different editions. You've got your paperback, your hardcover, your Kindle version, your ebook, and your Audible book. All of those are available at varying levels of price on Amazon.com. And I have to tell you that the prices are very reasonable because I don't want to make money on the book. I want you to read the book, understand my advice to you, and then to come to me when that transition is approaching to help you get the insurance coverage that you need to fill the gaps in Medicare. And that way, you're going to be fully protected. I'll get a couple of bucks every time you pay a premium, and all will be right with the world. So what are we doing today? We are podcasting with our friend and our podcast engineer, Randy Carson. He's sitting right over there on the other side of the screen. Hello, Randy. How are things today?
Well, it's really good. The weather, as you can see, I'm out on the Medicare for Lazy Man yacht.
Yes, yes.
And as you can see, the sea is pretty smooth right now, but a little bit earlier, it was kind of rough.
I was feeling a little verklempt, and I wasn't happy about the upward and downward motion, so I'm glad to see it smoothed out a little bit.
I know. It's not bad right now, but earlier it was kind of tough to deal with. My coffee kept sliding off the end of the breakfast table. It was just miserable.
It seems to me the designer of the Medicare for the Lazy Man yacht should have planned for that and maybe had tables with a little edge around the lip around the edge so
yeah.
you don't
yeah.
your coffee mug doesn't slide off, because eventually you're going to want to have a Guinness, and I know that that's going to slide
right
off the table. That will be very irritating.
Well, I mean, you can see right behind me the beer fridge, right? You know, that's back in that little counter back behind there.
Yep.
There's a beer fridge right next to the Medicare for the Lazy Man conference table.
Yep.
And it's really set up nicely, but bottom line is it does need some guardrails around the edge of the table.
Well, once that gets done, I'm going to come over there and try it out. And I've got to wait
Absolutely.
For a stormy day, I guess, but I will enjoy being out on the open seas again. That's
yes.
something I don't do very often, being stuck here in the desert.
Coming home and saying, I'm going to go out for a little bit of jaunt in the yacht when you're in the middle of Arizona, it's difficult.
It's a special thing. If you can pull it off, it's a special, special thing.
It is. It is.
Where we are here, we're within like an hour of about three different lakes. Two of them are to the east of us and one to the west of us. And not many people in Arizona can say that they have water that close.
No. And as you know, the other beautiful part about where location wise about where we are. I mean, if you don't like it here, you can go a little, you know, half hour and a half north. Yep. And at least most of the year you can see snow. Come down out of there in the same day. You can go skiing or you can come down south and go boating all in the same day.
And even swimming, if your constitution is up for it, because the thing about swimming in Arizona is it could be 85 degrees, which is ideal up north for swimming. But when you get out of the water and there's a breeze in Arizona at 85 degrees, you're going to feel chilly real quickly.
And then what you get to see is an old guy like me running as fast as I can go for the house to get warm.
Yeah. And goosebumps forming. You can see the goosebumps forming.
Literally, even during the summer when it's 110 degrees during the day, at night when it's down below 100 and you pop your body out of that pool, the evaporation rate is so rapid that you're freezing your patooties off.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's a disadvantage to being in Arizona, but the advantage is when you have misters that surround your patio, then the misters actually have the effect of cooling the temperature down something like 20 degrees or thereabouts. And I know that you haven't put them in yet, but you're thinking seriously about doing that.
I was going to tell you that some people have nice misters.
Well,
some people have made the mistake of putting in retail level not commercial misters, which was a major mistake.
And
this year, I hope if I can find time, I'm going to get your guy in and I'm going to do commercial misters. And then you and I are going to come over here and test them out to see if we can manage to drink a Guinness or two under the misters.
I'll be happy to do that. And I predict that we'll be successful in enjoying our Guinness without being overheated.
Good. Because the retail version of the misters, worthless.
And they won't take them back. Once they cease to function, they won't. You can't return them to the store and say, hey, these suck. Give me my money back.
The only thing I'm worried about, Doug, is that, I don't know, do you have just a kind of a constant wind level at your house?
No, it fluctuates. Some days, like today, is a little on the breezy side. Other days, not so much.
We have, where I'm at, we have just a basic, let's say a constant ground level base of about 8 miles an hour wind. The concern I've got is that my misters are going to get blown over to my neighbor and I'm not going to feel them.
Well, the installer should be able to account for that and compensate for it. And because those things can be pointed. And it's possible to aim them in a direction that's going to benefit you, considering that general constant wind you have or breeze that you have. So
because I don't want to have my next door neighbor call me up and say, hey, thanks for the misters.
No. if anything, you want him to look over and be envious and say, oh my God, what a genius!
Absolutely, that man is. I'm going to put those turkeys on a timer. I love misters.
Oh boy! Well, listen. Talking about satisfying things—is that what we were talking about? Comfort, I guess.
Yes.
I've got comfort. a little creature
comforts.
Creature comforts. We all love our creature comforts. And one thing I didn't do either time today was to set the timer. My little clock that I connected to it has not been started. So you'll have to tell me when it's time to shut up. I'll just keep going until you start waving at me through the screen. But one item I wanted to talk about today, I ran across a little article and it says, do not put off talking about the inevitable, care at life's end. And the reason this was interesting to me is that Mary and I just had a friend who had a brain tumor. She knew about this brain tumor for over a year, and she knew it was going to be inoperative and that it was eventually going to be fatal. Now, the thing is that she decided to start posting things on Facebook. And of course, I would get an email from Facebook saying, hey, your friend so-and-so posted something or other. And I would go to it and it would be all kinds of sappy kinds of stuff that I would not appreciate normally, but this is an old friend. And frankly, if that's what going through the stages of grief and eventually having to face death entailed, then I'm not going to criticize her. I was not going to do anything other than let her live out her last months doing what she wanted to do. And it involved a lot of posting things on Facebook. Well, it turns out she's been dead for about 3 months now, and the Facebook postings keep continuing. And I want to know, is there something you can do on Facebook? Can you put like a year's worth of stuff on Facebook and have it show up one at a time? I don't know what the deal is, but I know that she went through mental she went through mental stresses that I've never thought about or never encountered, and it probably affected her daily activities. And so I ran across this article. It says, can you and your loved ones answer these questions about the inevitable end of life? And here are some questions. On a scale of 1 to 5, where do you fall on this continuum? So number one, it says, here's the one opinion that corresponds to number one. Let me die in my own bed without any medical intervention. And then you go all the way to the other end. So you're at number five. And the attitude there expressed by number five is, don't give up on me no matter what. Try any proven and unproven intervention possible. So the question here is, where do you land on this scale from one, just let me croak, to five, don't ever give up on me? My mother was number five. Boy, she said that. She was a tough old bird. Anyway, question number two, if there were a choice, would you prefer to die at home or in a hospital? Number three, could a loved one correctly describe how you'd like to be treated in the case of a terminal illness? Question number four, is there someone you trust whom you've appointed to advocate on your behalf when the time is near? And number five, have you completed any of the following? Written a living will, appointed a healthcare power of attorney, or completed an advance directive? So those questions are basically things that one should think about, they're saying, as the end approaches, or maybe in preparation, even if the if the end is not in sight. And the balance of the article goes on to say, with no end in sight to the controversy about whether doctors should be paid to discuss end-of-life options with patients, we thought now was as good a time as any to review the possibilities for care before you die. Only about a quarter of adults have advance directives in place. The term refers to two types of documents, a living will that instructs people what medical measures to take, if any, to prolong your life, and a healthcare power of attorney that designates someone to make medical decisions for you if you can't do it for yourself. States call these documents by different names, but their functions are similar. On the relatively infrequent occasions when people do sign advance directives, or documents, they're usually thinking about what they would want in a crisis, a heart attack, say, or routine surgery that goes terribly wrong. Most of us don't think about the long, slow decline that may occur with Alzheimer's. And since there's no period at the end of that sentence, and since there's nothing written on the back of this single sheet of paper, I'm guessing that somehow I missed the rest of that article. But the important thing is there that you want to tell people what you are planning or what you would like way in advance of having to need that, because you could be unconscious, or you could be a blithering idiot, or you could be completely forgetful and not be aware. But if people around you that care for you, or even those that are paid to care for you, know what you want and can provide make happen the things that you want to have happen, then you will have done everybody a service. Because I know that sometimes before these documents were signed on my mother's case, she would be unconscious, or, you know, they'd have to put her on a ventilator and they would say, okay, what do you think she wants about this, that, and the other thing? And I would have to say, well, my best guess is this and that. And they would be unsure. It's better to be sure. And if you can put your feelings into, or your concerns into, a document that can be viewed by even people that don't know you at the time that you need the decisions to be made, then everybody is going to be happier, including the people that would be performing the way you want them to perform. Do you want them to carry out heroic measures to save your life or prolong your life? Or do you want them to not carry out any sort of heroic measures? It's that's a thing that is going to be difficult to talk about if you're unconscious. So I see Randy got tired of this whole conversation. He's up. He's over at the Medicare for the Lazy Man conference table outside or next to the big porthole. Except it's rectangular and it's really large, floor to ceiling.
I was going to the Medicare for the Lazy Man Guinness refrigerator there.
Oh boy! Well, good for you. I wish I were there aboard ship with you, sir, because I would join you in a Guinness right now.
Yeah. So these discussions about, you know, I mean, these are all extremely valid questions, and everybody needs to, you know, address them, you know, before it's too late, because you know what happens when you don't. I mean, most of your estate gets handled by the government. Good Lord, we know they do a good job.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You just froze up there a little bit and you're in the red right now, just so you know that. I'm sure the listeners all excited to hear that you're in the red. Now it's yellow.
Well, you're looking pretty good. Can you hear me?
Oh, fine. You did freeze up there for a couple of seconds, but
okay. All right. So I think it's because I'm leaving the West Coast and it's getting a little bit far for the Wi-Fi to kick in.
I can understand that. Well, let's not stress it out any further. How much time do we have left?
We have 3 minutes and 26 seconds.
You were frozen up for a good 30 seconds there, I bet.
We have about 3 minutes and 26 seconds.
Let me then find this letter from somebody that I talked about last episode. This is somebody that is going to be a new client. I can just feel it in my bones because this woman sounds like a very, very nice person. She wrote me yesterday. I got this and I was sneaking a look at my phone during the Memorial Day picnic that we went to. And I shouldn't have been doing it, but I had to find out if we had any activity on the Medicare for the Lazy Man front. And here's a woman who said, "Hi, Doug. Just finished listening to your audiobook and I gave it 5 stars. Thanks." Well, that's a great way to start a letter. That really got my attention. She goes on to say, "I tried to submit this via the Medicare for the Lazy Man site, but the upload is not working. It says it cannot instantiate." I don't know what that means. Instantiate. Randy, that's your site. You created that. It's a beautiful site.
That word she's referring to is instantiate.
Is there such a word or is she making it up?
No. That's an actual word that could potentially pop out in certain circumstances. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Well, tell me about that word because she has a question mark here and I would like to tell her how smart I am.
Well, what is in terms of the upload, what she was doing was probably answering one of your questionnaires.
Okay.
And perhaps attaching some additional information to that questionnaire. And in order for that to happen, as you know, the website sends that information to you in a highly secured fashion.
Right.
So in order for that to happen, the server has to instantiate a new email, so to speak, and encrypt it and then send it off to Doug Jones.
Okay.
So that process of making that happen, you know, basically creating a secured email to send to you with the attachment, in computer terms, that's called instantiating a process.
No kidding. That's fantastic. Now, why would our site have told her that it could not instantiate whatever she was sending?
Well, it's most of the time that happens. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that's a, basically, how do I describe it? It's a situational type of thing where the traffic between her and our server was a little slower than it should have been, or, you know, it's usually a very situational event. If it's something that's happening regularly, then we would know about it and then we would troubleshoot in terms of what's going on there. But my suspicion is that was a very situational one-off kind of a thing, but certainly it can happen.
Okay, so we have no reason to be concerned about the continued operation of the website then?
No, no.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell her that I'm a real smarty pants, and that and she may never have heard the word instantiate, but I am going to pretend as though I've always known what this word means. So to continue on, she said, my husband and I are 64 and will be eligible to enroll in Medicare in a few months. So we don't have any major health concerns and we'll probably choose high deductible Medicare supplement plans. That's a woman who's been paying attention to our advice, and she understands the validity of our advice. And she says, we live in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, here's the sad part of the missive. She says, I have a friend who is in a different situation and would like your opinion on her. She is 70 and has not enrolled in a Medicare supplement plan, but does have Part B of Medicare. She has always been very healthy, but recently she was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which was detected very early and is now in remission. She was advised that she should harvest her cells now in case the cancer ever comes back. The provider who would do the harvesting says they will not do this unless she has a Medicare supplement plan. Do you have any recommendations on plans and carriers? Well, the answer to that would be yes. I have plans and carriers that I think are as good as they come, and those would be my recommendations that I'll share with them. But then the next question is, my assumption is that she will be questioned about her health history and possibly refused coverage or charged a higher premium. My friend lives in South Florida. Thank you very much for your help. Well, unfortunately, the fact is that her friend has waited too long to make the move. She was able to get a Medicare supplement without any thought as to her health history when she was within 6 months of her Part B, her Medicare Part B starting date. Then nobody would ask her any questions about her health history or her health conditions. But once that six-month window passed, then the insurance companies are allowed to ask her. And I got out one of the questionnaires, a medical questionnaire that comes from my favorite company. And one of the questions, question number 14, it says, within the past 2 years, have you been diagnosed or had treatment by a licensed member of the medical profession for internal cancer? And then it goes on to say melanoma, leukemia, alcoholism, or drug abuse, cirrhosis, mental or nervous disorder requiring any psychiatric care, or have you been advised to have kidney dialysis? But the first term there was internal cancer, and I believe that's what multiple myeloma would be classified as. So this poor woman didn't purchase a Medicare supplement when she had the opportunity. And as inertia affects all of us, she waited and waited and waited. There was no compelling reason to act until a diagnosis of unpleasant proportions happened to her. And then all of a sudden we want to look back and say, gee, I wish we had taken advantage of the opportunity, but it's too late now. And I've got to deliver that unfortunate news. I'm sure the woman I'm corresponding with, who's concerned about her friend, knows that that's going to be the answer that she's likely to get. So anyway, that's, I'm sure, burned up the last of our time available for this episode today on that sad note. So shall we pack it up and go sailing?
Well, yeah, let's do that. I do have one clarification question, and I'm asking it for kind of a personal reason. You said that she, this particular woman that we were discussing, had signed up for A and B already, right?
Right.
So yep. if you've signed up for A, but you never signed up for B, I always like to talk in terms of extremes to make it stick in my head.
Sure.
So let's say that you were 4,012 years old, metaphorically speaking.
That's never going to stick in my head.
and you signed up for A, but you never signed up for B. So now you're 4,014 years old. Can you sign up for B? And then at that point, have your 6 months to get a supplement?
Sir, I'm glad you asked that question. Don't you hate people that say, that's a great question? You know, they're trying to think of an answer while they're saying that's a wonderful question. And I'm really pleased to have the opportunity to answer
that question. I'm going to have to research that.
Well, here's the deal. Every year, Medicare says you get an open enrollment period. If you were stupid enough not to sign up when you were first eligible, Medicare says you can sign up in January, February, or March, and your Medicare coverage will become effective July 1st. Now, that weeds out the people who have just had a life-threatening diagnosis like this lady, because it means you have to wait for a while before your coverage will actually be in force or will begin. And so that means you can sign up in the first quarter of the year, but your coverage will not be effective until July 1st. Well, a new law changed that in 2023. Now, you can sign up for Medicare Part B in January, February, or March, and then your coverage will begin the month after that sign-up date. So the whole thing is, it's, you know, more people are going to be allowed to wait until the last minute. When they get sick, they can enroll in Medicare Part B, start paying the premium. Then they will have saved however long they were healthy, the premium they would have paid. But it's going to drive the price up for everybody. So the other thing is that this woman in particular was advised to have a harvesting of cells, which I'm not familiar with how that would work. But the doctor who would normally perform it said, I'm not going to do it unless she has a Medicare supplement. If you have Medicare Part B, but not a Medicare supplement, then you're going to be paying 20% of the cost. And I'll bet that's a really expensive procedure. And the doctor is saying, I don't want a plan that's going to pay only 20% of the cost, like Medicare Part B. I want this woman to be covered with insurance that will pay 100% of the cost. So that's why she's SOL. And so anyway, to answer your question, yep, you can sign up for Part B. And then your application for a Medicare supplement says, are you within 6 months of your Medicare Part B start date? And that would allow you to get Medicare supplement without any further questions, medical questions.
Regardless of how long you'd had A and not signed up for B.
Right, because my advice is for people to sign up for A when they first become eligible at age 65. That way, they're on the books for the Social Security Administration, which administers Medicare, has you in their active file, so that when you do decide to sign up for Part B, and it could be years later when you decide to retire from your job, then you can have an easier time of enrolling in Part B. So yeah, I think there should be more people with Part A that don't have Part B yet because they're still working.
Yeah. And that's essentially what this situation was. It's a little more complicated in the fact that, unfortunately, this individual, who shall remain nameless at this point, has cancer. And he's been working with a company that, you know, to their credit, has been paying every nickel of his cancer support, you know, his diagnosis, his his doctor's appointments, his medication, everything. And he thought at this point that he was, you know, doing the right thing by not signing up for Point A, or, you know, Part A.
Part A or Part B?
Part A. He hasn't signed up for anything.
Oh, okay.
And now he's getting to the point where he can't work anymore.
Yeah.
And so essentially, I don't think the company is going to continue paying his medical expenses when he's not working there.
He's in excellent shape then. He has no problems because he has been working for a company that has a group health plan. And the odds are 99.999% that group health plan is recognized as being, you know, an equivalent to what Medicare would be. And so he has had like a free pass. He hasn't been, he hasn't missed any deadlines or, you know, neglected to do something, because all he has to do is pick his retirement date. When does he want to leave that group health plan? So when he's within 3 months of that date that he picks, all he's got to do is apply for Medicare, and then he will have full coverage and he can get a Medicare supplement, because Part B will be brand new to him. He'll be within that 6 month window. So he will be able to maintain. I can't say that he's in good shape because of his medical condition, but I can say that his insurance coverage is not in jeopardy at all. And he's not in danger of any late enrollment penalty. So
that's good to know, because I again, am hearing this information. It's a shirt tail family member. And I just found out like earlier this year that he's been fighting cancer for the last 2 years.
Oh, boy.
And bottom line is, I guess what I'm going to encourage him to do is certainly take some active steps to make this transition between his company insurance and Medicare A, B, and supplemental policies. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Do it. Yeah, don't let the grass grow.
I know a young boy who'll be happy to help him make that transition.
I know one too. And I think under the circumstances, I'm going to try to hook this young man up with this other young man, because I don't want, this guy is a Shirttail family member, and I don't want any missteps to happen.
Well, I'll be happy to guide him through the process if he wants me to. Otherwise, frankly, you know the advice I would offer, and so you can share that with him if he has somebody else he'd rather work with.
Yeah, and then you'll be guiding them through the right steps. I'll be on the other side of the phone crowing about, don't go anywhere close to what?
Medicare Advantage plan.
Yeah.
Saw that coming down Fifth Avenue.
Yes, you did. You knew where I was going with that, didn't you?
All right.
So anyway, thank you everyone for joining us. We've overextended our fuel just a little bit here, but not too bad. We thank you for joining us. As always, we love having you, and we're looking forward greatly to having you again next time. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, but don't forget, in the meantime, to go to Amazon, get your books, get your audio files, you can even get a hardback nowadays. How cool is that?
And people are buying that. Not a ton of people, but every once in a while one sells. So that's good.
That's cool. That's really cool. So anyway, thanks for joining us. We are going to have to sign off now, because I can see by the gas gauge on the yacht here that I need to get back to the dock. So we are going to sign off with Doug Jones, who is broadcasting from his fortress of solitude high in the mountains above Cave Creek, Arizona. I think at this point, do you even have to wear your oxygen mask up there?
No. My lungs have grown strong and virile.
Oh, good. That's good to know, because I would hate, when I come visit, I would hate to have to put my oxygen on.
Oh, no, you're going to love it up here.
I just don't like it.
You're going to love it up here.
Good.
All right.
Well, thanks, Doug. Thanks for joining us. And I'm going to let everybody go and consider this to be a done deal.
Bye-bye.